Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Monday, March 19th, 2018. My name is Martin. If you couldn't tell, I'm a little sick today, but the news doesn't stop because I have the flu. So we're going to continue, but first, I want to thank everyone who's made a comment on the show, who's left an iTunes review or a review anywhere else. I want to read one of my favorite ones right now. Thank you, Cool Rock. 5 stars, Martin needs a biscuit. Yes, I do. Maybe some cough drops. Let's get on to the news. It's been announced that Jorge Jimenez will be the artist on Justice League with Scott Snyder following the No Justice 4-issue series springing out of DC Metal. Justice League will be relaunching in June with Snyder and Jimenez on art, and currently Jimenez has been doing some stellar work on Super Sons. I am really, really excited to have Jimenez on this book. I'm still a little iffy with the whole Snyder Metal thing. Again, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I'm not reading DC Metal. Kind of waiting for it to be over before I read it. But I am reading all the other stuff stemming out of it. So I have read the majority of the New Age of Heroes books. I really like Silencer. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell John Romita Jr. But I really like that one. I'm really, really digging the Terrifics, as I mentioned in the last episode. So I'm very excited for this. And I'm going to read the synopsis for the first arc, I guess, of this new Justice League book. The cosmos suddenly opens up to new threats that the Justice League could not imagine. As Lex Luthor and Batman race to solve a mystery going back to the beginning of the DCU, the rest of the League dive deep into the new corners of their own mythologies. What does that mean? I don't know, but Snyder likes to play with this whole multiverse thing, and I think for him at least, it has opened up quite a few new storylines based on the dark multiverse that we're seeing in DC Metal. So I think this will be interesting, but I really look forward to Jimenez's pencils. I saw a couple of preview images for his stuff, and it looks amazing. Looks amazing. So this will be starting up in June. I will definitely be picking this up. And I recommend that you put this on your pull list. In slightly sadder news, longtime Jonah Hex writer Michael Fleischer passed away at the age of 75 last week. And Fleischer was with DC for a long, 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 long time. I think maybe newer comic book readers may not be familiar with Fleischer. But back in like 70 or 71, DC hired him to do the encyclopedia. I can't remember what they were called. They had some like long, like, funny kind of name. But encyclopedias of the history of certain DC comic characters. He did a Batman encyclopedia, Superman encyclopedia, and a Wonder Woman encyclopedia. And then in 74, Fleischer took over Weird Western Tales number 22, which was a Jonah Hex story. And he ended up writing Jonah Hex for about 12 years. He wrote, in that book, he wrote the Jonah Hex series. When Jonah Hex ended, he wrote Hex, which took Jonah Hex into the far future. It was like a Mad Max post-apocalyptic thing. And it was really interesting. Really interesting. He also did a fascinating Spectre story in Venture Comics. Oh man, I should have written this down. 432, I want to say. Which is fantastic. It was based on something that actually happened to his editor in real life. His editor was mugged. And he used the Spirit of Vengeance to like retell the story in comic book format, and it was fantastic. So, kind of sad to see Fleischer go. He did a ton of stuff for DC. Next up, Ridley Scott is in talks to direct a live action adaptation of Greg Rucka's Queen and Country. Queen and Country is fantastic. If you've never read Queen and Country, I highly suggest you do it. It was a 32-issue series. That Rucka did, oh god, I can't remember when he started it, sometime in the 2000s. He did a couple of, follow-ups. I think it was a one-shot. It might have been a follow-up miniseries. I wanna say he did, like, novels based on Queen and Country. Anyways, I think it's some of Greg Rucka's most amazing independent work. And, Queen and Country follows Tara Chase, who is a female operative for this fictional British secret intelligence, like an MI6 kind of thing. And it's really, really good. It started off, I can't remember where he started it, but it ended up finishing up at Oni Press in 07. He got a ton of awards for. There were five Eisners. And the movie adaptation of Queen and Country has been going back and forth in Hollywood for several years. There's been like four or five different writers tapped to write the script and then rewrite it and rewrite it again. I know Greg Rucka was involved in their last set of rewrites. So this is exciting if it actually happens. Queen and Country is one of my favorite works by Rucka. And if you haven't read it, I suggest you pick it up. In fact, I may talk about it in this podcast, or maybe another one, at some point in the near future. But we'll see how it goes. It's going to be going to Fox with Ridley Scott directing, and I love Ridley Scott. I know there's been some of his stuff that, as of late, that maybe people weren't a big fan of, but Ridley Scott has been in Hollywood for decades, and I think he's a fantastic director, so I look forward to this. Because you may not know it, there has been one previous movie based on Greg Rucka's work. And that was Whiteout, which came out in 2009, and it was horrendous. Horrendous. I only watched it because Kate Beckinsale is in it, and I love Kate Beckinsale. She may not be the greatest actress, but she does generally fun stuff. I guess when I say fun stuff, I really mean, what's that movie? The Underworld movies. Where it's the vampires against the werewolves. Anyways, I love Kate. She is beautiful, but the movie was not very good. Critically, it was slammed on. I don't think it even made enough money to cover production costs when it came out. And I tried to see if it was streaming anywhere. I couldn't find it. So if you want to rent it, I'm sure you can for a couple bucks. But the graphic novel that it's based on, Whiteout, came out in 98. And that was really, really interesting. It's also a detective story based or set in, I want to say Antarctica, where there's like a serial killer on the loose, and it's up to the main character to try to figure out what's going on. But the graphic novel, thumbs up. The book or the movie, meh, you could probably skip it. But I am looking forward very much to a Queen and Country movie, so be on the lookout for that. Next up, a little bit more of DC news. So if you're a DC fan, you may know that DC has been doing Hanna-Barbera books for the last couple of years. And they've actually been really, really good. I've been very pleasantly surprised. The first ones to come out were, I believe, Scooby Apocalypse and the Flintstones. And I know a lot of people slept on those books because, probably like me, you were thinking to yourself, I liked Hanna-Barbera stuff when I was growing up. Am I dating myself? Okay, maybe not. I like Hanna-Barbera stuff when I was growing up, but how is that going to work in a comic book format? And I think what DC did in terms of the creators they put in with these books and the type of stories that were told in these books was really, really interesting. In particular, I want to say the Flintstones may have been the most interesting because it really updated the story of the Flintstones to the modern age, and there was a lot of sociopolitical stuff that was discussed within that book that I was very surprised DC let them do that with those characters. I want to say Flintstones actually won several awards because of that. And anyways, Hanna-Barbera line has been quite good. Matter of fact, the Jetsons is still coming out. And Jimmy Palmiotti is doing that. I really like that book. I know some people were a little weary about the first issue, but it's the same kind of thing, right? It really updates what those characters are about, what that world is about, with a modern sensibility. And the Jetsons is kind of like a global warming cautionary tale. And I think it's really well done. It's tons of fun. Anyways, so DC is going to be doing some crossover books between its characters and the Hanna-Barbera characters. Now, this has already happened, so it's not the first time they're doing it. And I'm hoping that this means that this next set of books, a lot more people will be picking up. So last year, there were four. There was Green Lantern Space Ghost, which had beautiful painted art. The story was kind of so-so. I enjoyed it more than I would say a lot of people, but the art was gorgeous. There was a Booster Gold Flintstones, which was really interesting. Adam Strange Future Quest, and then a Suicide Squad Banana Splits. And I know some of these type of crossovers kind of may seem a little weird, but I really enjoyed those four. I know a lot of the people did. And there's going to be four new ones. So these are all going to be one-shots set at $4.99. And I'm going to read out loud these books and their creative teams. And I think you will be pleasantly surprised by the type of people that are being chosen to work on these books. And I recommend you pick up at least a couple of them, if not the whole lot. So first up is going to be Aquaman Jabberjaw Special. That's Dan Abnett, Paul Pelletier, and Andrew Hennessy. There's going to be a backup story by Jeff Parker and Scott Collins, starring Captain Caveman, the Spectre, and the Wizard Shazam. That sounds freaking awesome. Awesome. I love what Abnett's been doing with Aquaman, so I'm in on that. And this backup story, they should have just made that its own, like, special one-shot. I would buy the hell out of that. So that looks interesting. Black Lightning Hong Kong Fui Special by Brian Hill, Dennis Cowan, and Bill Sienkiewicz, with a backup by Parker and Collins featuring pre-demon Jason Blood and the Funky Phantom. I don't even want to talk about these books anymore. I just want to go and buy these. These sound freaking awesome. The creative team here? Holy cow. We're going to talk about Brian Hill again in a few minutes, but this I'm excited for this. Black Lightning Hong Kong Fui Special. Next up is the Flash Speed Buggy Special. That's Scott Lobdell, Brett Booth, and Norm Rapmond. And that's going to be Wally West Flash. That sounds pretty cool. And then finally, the Super Sons Dino Mutt Special with Peter J. Tomasi, who's been working on the Superman stuff, so that's exciting. And I think the art is Fernando Passerin and Eau Claire Albert. These are pretty cool. I look forward to these. I didn't see the exact date of when these are coming out, but I would assume we'll probably get more information with the next set of solicits coming up. And I'm going to be picking up all four of these. These really sound good. I really dug last year's books. Actually, most of them. I think the Suicide Squad Banana Splits was maybe my least favorite. But I really dug the rest of them. So looking forward to more DC Hanna-Barbera crossover titles. Next up, what I think is some of the most exciting news of the last couple of days is that Brian Hill, who is currently writing the Wildstorm Michael Kray, is going to be taking over Detective Comics at least for two issues after James Tynion IV's run ends with the current arc in issue 982. And Hill is going to write a two-issue arc bringing back Blight Lightning and Batman together again. And the arc is going to be called On the Outside. Now, if you are a longtime comic reader, or if you're a Batman fan, as I am, you will remember that The Outsiders was a team created by Batman. Oh, God, what year was that? I think they first appeared in, like, the early 80s, but they had a long run. There was a book, Batman and the Outsiders, that eventually became just The Outsiders. And the team originally was Black Lightning, Metamorpho, Geo-Force, Katana, Halo, and The Looker. And then, eventually, Nightwing and Arsenal joined the team after the Teen Titans were disbanded. So I don't know if this is a two-issue arc setting up a new Outsiders book, and if it is, that has me really excited. Because the current run that Tynion's doing, he's been playing a lot on Batman creating this team and why he created it, and now the fallout of the consequences of Batman's actions, in particular with Batwoman and some of the other characters. And the fact that we're going to have this other team that Batman created coming into Detective, I think will be a natural progression to whatever comes after this two-issue arc, whoever's taking over. I'm not sure if that's been announced yet. I'll have to do a little digging. But I think it's a nice natural progression of where the story has been going from when Detective relaunched with Rebirth. And just to have... The Black Lightning thing is nice. I've never been a huge Black Lightning fan, but I do like the character, in particular in The Outsiders. Of course, Black Lightning is kind of hot now, right? Because you've got the CW show, which is incredible. And I like that Brian Hill is being allowed to take on these big characters. I think Brian started at Top Cow. He did Postal. He's relaunching Cyberforce, or co-writing Cyberforce maybe, with Matt Hawkins. So I've been looking at this guy's work for the past couple of years, and he is really an incredible writer. And I'm really happy that DC is allowing him to come in and not just deal with Black Lightning, but tackle Batman. Like, that's huge for any up and coming writer to be able to play in that playground of what is arguably DC's top selling character. I guess not arguably, because if we look at sales numbers, he is. We'll talk about that probably tomorrow. I'll be doing an episode on February sales, but Batman 40 and 41 were, I believe, DC's top two books, aside from maybe Metal. So that's exciting. I want to see what Brian Hill's going to be doing with this book. I hope they let him relaunch this Outsiders book. I think it would be incredible. I don't know if Metamorpho will be on it, because Metamorpho is in the Terrifics. But some of these other characters, I don't know if we've seen in quite a bit of time. So definitely looking forward to this. Definitely put Detective Comics 982 on your pull list, because I think it's going to be something really, really special. I love Brian Hill. He's fantastic. And the last bit of news, I'm just going to very briefly talk about, because I've got to throw some Marvel news in here. It's been kind of another DC-heavy couple of days of news, but on Friday, the new trailer for Avengers Infinity War came out, and those of you that follow me on other podcasts may be very well aware that I've been kind of poo-pooing the Infinity War stuff that we've seen up until now. It just seems like there's just too much going on screen, too many characters, and I haven't really been that excited about. But judging by this last trailer that just came out, I'm actually a little bit more excited. They actually showed a lot more of Thanos. They teased quite a bit the relationship between Gamora and Thanos, because of course Gamora is Thanos' daughter. And there was even like a little like 1 or 2 second thing on there where you see like baby Gamora's hand coming up and Thanos grabs it. So we're definitely going to see a lot of that, which is exciting because it seems now that the Black Order is going to be a heavy focus of this movie. And we did see Ebony Maw going up against Doctor Strange in the trailer. And he looks creepy as hell. I think the way they did this is really well done. So we know Proxima Midnight will be in the film. Ebony Maw, Corvus Glaive, and Cull Obsidian. I believe they already showed statues of all these characters a few months ago. So it's not like this is anything new. When was that? I can't remember when they showed this, but it's probably been maybe late last summer. So San Diego Comic-Con, possibly. I remember seeing those images. So I'm very excited to see the Black Order in film. To be honest, I kind of hope that the movie is more about them and less about Thanos, although obviously Thanos is going to be a big role in the film with this being Infinity War and the story that it's kind of based on. There's a lot of Easter eggs. I don't want to talk about them too much, but there's a nice nod to the new Invincible Iron Man Mark 37 suit from the latest run for Iron Man. We do see Captain America Steve Rogers going up against Thanos, and in that scene, you see that Thanos only has 2 of the Infinity Gems, or I guess Infinity Stones is what they're called now, and we kind of figure out where some of the rest of them are, right? So the Mind Stone is on the Vision's head, the Collector has the Reality Stone, Doctor Strange has the Time Stone on his necklace, and the only one that's missing so far is the Soul Stone. So I know there's some people, one person in particular that I know that's very excited about hopefully what that could mean, where the Soul Stone is, and we'll just have to wait and see. But I thought the trailer was really well done. I very much enjoyed it. Like I said, I've been a little weary about the stuff that I've seen, but the stuff that I saw in this last trailer has me more excited about what this movie could be. And I hope it's just not like a 2-hour battle scene in Wakanda. We do know that a large chunk of the movie will be in Wakanda. From what I've read, I think the last third of the movie is in Wakanda. And it seems that maybe the Vision goes there To try to get away from Thanos, so the Wakandans are protecting him, and of course, all the Avengers. I did also see the Hulkbuster armor, and I don't want to spoil who's in it, but I did see that, and I think that's interesting that they would do this way. It's not Tony Stark in the Hulkbuster armor. It's not the Hulk in the Hulkbuster armor, but well, you can find that information online if you really want. And I think that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of Comic Talk Today. I want to thank everyone who is listening to the show, who's providing feedback, who's doing the iTunes reviews. The show is now, of course, on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. The show is finally on Google Play Music. You can also find us at anchor.fm/Comic Talk Today if you're an Anchor fan. And on YouTube if you look up Comic Talk Today. We'll be back tomorrow with a discussion of February 2018 comic sales. We'll catch you then.